ball spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good morning out there, Western and Northwestern Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Get into all kinds of different things. Of course, it is Monday, and that means it's a Jim Traber Monday, brought to you by Barber Dyson Ford out here on the northeast side of Elk City. Tell you all about Barber Dyson Ford coming up when Jim gets on the show. Got some questions to ask him. I can't wait. I kind of got to listen a little bit on Friday to his thoughts on the Field of Dreams game. But I really want to get into that. The rookie quarterbacks in the NFL and even some second-year guys. Who does he like? You know, I know it's just one game. I get it. It's just a preseason game. Debuts from all the rookies. How he thought they fared, that kind of thing. Who he would like out of this class and the last one, because there's been a whole bunch of those guys drafted toward the top of the draft over the past 2 years. Some have looked the part. Others, one guy in particular, is starting to, I think, if you're a fan of a certain NFL team, I don't know if it's time to push the panic button, but I'd be getting a little bit nervous if I was a Miami Dolphins fan. Just a little bit nervous about that. We got a list on ESPN. I saw it on Friday, but we had too much other stuff to get to. Ranked the top 100 football coaches in college football over the past 50 years. And when you look at this list, you get to a point where it's kind of the argument from a lot of different sides, and it's this. How much do you value championships? How much do you value wins? How much do you almost undervalue certain coaches from the big-time programs versus others from way lesser? I mean, it's because of number 9 and number 8 that this comes up, and it's Barry Switzer and Bill Snyder. Barry Switzer is the 9th best coach of the last 50 years in college football. Bill Snyder, number 8. I just think it's a fascinating argument that can be had. How much credit does Barry really get because he's coaching at Oklahoma versus how much does Bill Snyder get for the resurrection of college, maybe the worst college football program of all time at Kansas State? Even though, when you look at what each of them won, there's not an argument to be had because of how much more Barry actually won than Snyder, but the credit that Bill Snyder deserves for turning around a program that had never done anything at the time. So I just think that's an interesting one, just because those two guys were next to each other on the list. We'll go through the list and give you an idea of where some other coaches were there. And then figure out what Jared did this weekend. Looks to me like he shaved his head. Looks a little bit tighter than normal.
Just a haircut.
Just
another haircut.
Just another haircut.
No big deal.
See what Jared did over the weekend. Tell you about the couples counseling that I went to for 2 days. A little bit as well. 225.
That's right. I want to know how that went.
225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We could talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind. You can feel free to chime in there at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, there are a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. One of those is to log on to kadsam.com. Hit the Listen Live tab at the top, play button as soon as that screen switches, and you can live stream the show that way. Or you can download the Paragon Communications app to your phone. It's free to download. Once you get that app, you've got all things Paragon Communications, the 3 radio stations here in Elk City, just KECO, Cool 94, us here on KADS. The Penny News is in the app as well. Check out all the great deals online, thepennynews.com, or go pick up a free copy of that Penny News that's hanging out at your favorite local newsstand. Got Big Elk TV, Paragon TV in the app as well. We're literally 1 week away from game week for Elk City football, week 0. Pampa coming. And you know how I know it's getting close, Jared? When I looked in my email inbox this morning.
Yeah.
Pampa roster, courtesy of Coach Hunt.
Nice.
In the inbox. So I know it's getting close to game time.
We're getting there.
I believe Elk City goes to Kingfisher on Friday for a scrimmage.
Just one scrimmage?
I think so.
I'm assuming. I mean, week zero.
Week zero sneaks up on you pretty quick.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, here's the thing. Otherwise, if you wanted to have a scrimmage last Friday, you're literally having a scrimmage the day pads go on.
Yeah, that wouldn't be ideal.
It'd be pretty, less than ideal. So you take one scrimmage, you have, three games, have that week off on week three in between non-conference or non-district and the district game starting. So you kind of sacrifice. I think what you do is you sacrifice a scrimmage for a week off to get everybody healthy heading into district play.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
And also, of course, with everything going on in our world right now, you never know when that week off might really, really help you in certain ways.
You bite your tongue,
I'm
sir.
I'm not even going to say why. I just know everybody knows what I'm talking about.
Nah,
not saying why.
Don't even insinuate. Come on.
So that'll start Big Elks, Pampa, a week from Friday. High school football season is here. If you missed the show entirely, there's ways to go back and listen to that on demand via the podcast. You can find that on KADSAM.com. You can also find that on iTunes. Just search Skinny on Sports. Find us on iTunes. Once you find that, hit that subscribe button, and it'll alert you and fire one at you each and every day when a new podcast drops. You can also find that on our Skinny on Sports Facebook page. How are you this morning, Jared?
I'm good. I'm good. It's a Monday.
It is a Monday.
It's a Monday. I was a little worried about, you. I go, hearing that there's a little accident on I-40.
Yes.
I thought, wait a minute. That might be Skinny's commute.
I was getting onto the interstate, clear out at mile marker 20, which most people would think, the Flying J exit, just where it's at.
That's how we do it out here. We nickname all our exits.
Yeah, or Denny's,
The Merritt exit.
Or the golf course exit. That's what I would do. Or, Skinny's exit. Anyhow. mile marker 20. And by the, there's some construction going on in between there and where you would exit at the courthouse there in Sayre. And as I'm going through, it's just like one kind of turn. You go straight across where the bridge is, and then you get back on the other. It's a small area. But you can see the next on-ramp coming. And as I was getting into the construction, I could see the flashing lights, a couple of different of the folks from the sheriff's department going across the overpass, getting on the interstate. By the time I got there, it was like, pass a truck, get right immediately, because here they come. They went flying by and went all the way up to, I would guess it'd be just about mile marker 29. So if you're traveling on Interstate 40 right now, either east or westbound, once you get around mile marker 30 going west, or probably after you pass the TA exit, number 26 going east, be alert for a slowdown. It's right through there somewhere. It may have been closer to 28. But anyhow, there was a truck had flipped over, a pickup truck. It wasn't like a semi. It was an actual pickup truck. Had flipped over and was in the median. At that point, when I went through, there was no medical folks there yet. And hopefully it wasn't a yet. They just didn't need to be there, is what you hope, but you never know.
Yeah. You never know.
Yeah.
So we don't want to speculate on anything.
Oh, absolutely not. No. It was all it had just happened. I mean, it was like I saw the call happen, basically. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, as I'm going, like, whoa, holy cow, there they go. And you could tell, I think they all ended up there. There was a ton of those people there. So, anyhow, they were just getting, in place. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's funny how, life works, but if I get up 2 minutes earlier,
You hate to think
like that. Then maybe I have more of a report on what happened.
Or even worse. Or you are in the report.
Even worse.
We don't want to think like that.
Nope, we don't. But anyhow.
Just be careful.
Yeah, it was funny because I was sitting there as I was going thinking to myself, because I was a little bit behind my normal schedule. And I thought, man, if this is, because you don't even know if it's on the interstate yet.
Right.
But then once you could see it, I'm thinking, if I was 2 minutes later, I might have to be calling in for the first segment. When everybody starts to get slowed down,
right?
Where it was at. So yeah, hopefully everybody's okay there. But I made it, skated on through, and here we are.
Well, good deal. So where do you want to begin? You want to begin on the your weekend?
No, what did you do?
About that.
What did you do this weekend?
Nothing exciting like your weekend. I got an issue. I got an issue going on at home.
Uh-oh.
It's a little worrisome. Something called army worms have been in my lawn.
Are you serious?
Yep. I was mowing yesterday. I've heard, you're hearing about it. And I'm mowing yesterday, and I see a few of those critters on my porch, back porch, kind of wiggling around. I thought, that can't be what I think it is. So I'm done mowing, and I kind of examine my lawn, and yes, there's some brown spots forming. And then upon further inspection, I can reach down with a little bit of help moving it with my hands, moving the grass. I found about 3 or 4 army worms right there in my... So I think I got them, and I'm looking at the next step on how to get rid of them.
I was sent an article about this on Friday. And I guess there's a different... I mean, you're obviously scared to death about the idea of waking up tomorrow morning and your grass is dead. Because they move so fast, right?
Right.
The way to tell if you have an infestation or just kind of have a couple is to get... here it is. Just 1 second. One of the things, and this is for everybody out there because this is serious. There's pictures of a yard literally overnight going from lush and green to dead.
Yeah.
With these things moving across. One of the things we can do to determine if you have an infestation is go ahead and make what we call a disclosing solution. This is from OSU Extension entomologist Tom Royer, so I have a feeling he knows what he's talking about. That solution comprises a tablespoon of lemon-scented dish soap gallon of water. Pour it down, 10 minutes, they ought to come rushing.
Yeah.
And you just step on them.
I've heard about this.
It'd look like I Love Lucy, where they're stepping on the grapes trying to make wine.
Well,
that's no good. I know that.
I'm going to be in contact with, a person who sprays our yard every spring, and he does this too. And I've heard about some granules you could put down that by yourself, but I got to do this in a hurry either way. So it's a little worrisome.
It was
right now. I'm a little bit more worried about that than say what we were talking about earlier that could delay games.
Yeah.
This is really making me worry because I put a lot of effort in my lawn. So hopefully it's not as bad as I think. And I'm glad this is now middle of August and not middle of April.
Right.
You know, that would be devastating for me. But
well, hopefully you get them under control.
Shall pass. No big deal.
Get them under control. Yeah. We were looking. It was funny because you're not normally paying as much of attention to the grass at the golf courses were this weekend. Just, I mean, dead serious. Like,
yeah.
All right.
That's, you know, it kind of came to mind too. Because I hear that it's all over Oklahoma, all over the region.
Mm-hmm. And this guy said they're like a month early.
Yeah. And I thought, wait a minute. That doesn't mean golf courses are immune to this.
Oh,
this
no.
would be devastating.
Nothing is immune.
Yeah.
So it was constantly looking for them throughout the weekend. Weekend was a blast. Started on Friday. I ended up playing in the horse race with my sister. She would always play with my dad. That was their team.
Okay.
Obviously that can't happen anymore. And so I called her. I got to thinking about it and called her up and I was like, hey, what do you think? She's like, oh, that'd be so much fun. Dad would never let me play. I'm like, well, hey, maybe there you go. Silver lining. So anyway, we played, and I couldn't ever figure out. So, you know, the horse race, like we just same way with ours, there was 14 or 15 teams, which they split into two groups. There was a clear, line of talent, let's call it. There's 8 of these type of teams and 7 of these other type of teams, which made it a lot more fun for the 7 of us who would have had no shot against the other 8. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
so we played with 7 people. We played 6 holes. And so that means, obviously, if you got to get to the last two holes in order to come in the money. Well, we got to the third to the last hole, and everybody made a par except for us. And so we were eliminated, and I couldn't ever tell. I was trying to get a confirmation. Now, is that first loser or last loser? Because we were the last team to go out before you made the money. But we were also the first team out of the money. Any thoughts there?
Say it again. You're the first team.
First team out of the money, but we're the last team not to make the money. So are you first or last loser, or just a loser and you move on?
Listen, if you didn't make any money, I think you lost.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you're first or last, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
I was just trying to figure out what to call it.
You were, I don't know how to explain it. If you're glass half full, then.
You'd probably call it first loser. But see, to me, first loser would mean the first one out.
Yeah, I'll say last loser.
Last loser.
You're the last one to not make the money.
Yeah, that's the way I would think of it.
It's kind
of
like how I treated my kids' venture at State. They were top of the losers. Does that make sense? I don't want to call them losers.
Yeah, so then you think you're the first.
Yeah, they were one of the teams that went away. They're in the final four.
Right.
But they came up short. So I don't know.
Anyhow.
Important
so that was
thing
that.
Was
we had fun, and then
like the, what I tell my kid too. Important thing was you had fun.
The 2 days of the actual tournament, my lovely wife and I played, and we played good the first day, and not so good yesterday. I'll be just blatantly honest. I think probably the festivities Saturday night contributed to poor play on Sunday. Lack of sleep.
On her part or your part?
Mine.
Okay.
Only mine.
Okay.
I'm the only person that could get blamed here.
Okay.
And may have ran my mouth too much to a certain blonde-headed lady from Kingfisher.
Well, why would you do that?
Who beat us because she was talking trash too. You know how that goes.
Okay.
And
I
had to be publicly shamed by losing to Wolfie and Kelsey. They beat us like a drum yesterday. The only saving grace was we didn't have to see it with our own eyes because we didn't play in the same group. But anyhow, it was fun. It was a great weekend. Like I said, the golf course, it's great shape. It was the best weather ever for a tumbleweed, or at least since I played for a tumbleweed too. So normally you're worried if it's going to be 110 when that tournament happens second week of August. Instead, this rained a ton on Friday night.
Yeah,
sure,
about
you got
that
a ton
rain.
Of rain.
My goodness.
And then it was, mid 80s and not much wind. It was very few days like this in Western Oklahoma where you're looking out on the you're on the golf course and you're looking up going, would the wind please just blow a little?
Yeah,
it doesn't have to blow a lot, just blow a little bit, because it was kind of getting a little bit stuffy.
Yeah, we had practice last night and I thought this is perfect weather, we just need a little bit
just
of a breeze.
And it's cool enough that the breeze doesn't, sometimes it's so hot when a wind blows it's like an oven.
Yeah,
it's cool enough to where you're out there sweating. The breeze will cool you down a little bit instead of just make you feel like you're going to melt down.
Yeah.
But anyhow, it was a great weekend.
Well, good.
It was indeed. All right.
Good.
Did you see this list on Friday? Have you looked at it yet?
Oh yeah, I got a little issues with
you.
You
got issues too.
Sure, I do. Yeah.
Top 100 college football coaches of the last 50 years. All right. So on Friday there was this list: the top 100 college football coaches of the last 50 years. As ranked by, was it Bill Connolly, I think, that made the lists? Yeah, he was the one that did the SP Plus rankings as well that we talked about last week. I don't think there's much surprise at number one. The argument against Nick Saban is becoming more and more futile, just like the argument against Tom Brady has become. As it used to be fun to talk about, hey, who's the best quarterback of all time in the NFL? Now, it's not. It's no fun because he keeps on winning Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Saban's kind of making this argument the same way. How he just kind of, because even if you want to compare him to Bear Bryant, Alabama, guess what? Saban still got that sneaky little title at LSU back in 2003 to hang his hat on and say, be able to say, hey, I won at two different places. Bear Bryant can't say he won a national title at two different places. And so, that's one of the things that you could give the – that's where it's at. You said you have a problem with the list. Where do you go to the problem?
There's a glaring omission to me. As I went up and down, and I could be wrong. So help me if you've seen it. Where is Bud Wilkinson on this list?
It's 50 years.
It's the past 50 years?
Past 50 years.
Ah, well, okay. Then I retract my statement.
It's the past 50 years.
And if you call it a top 100 list, don't make it 101.
101, yeah, I saw that too. But yeah, that's why it has to be within the last 50.
Gotcha. Okay, well, I was thinking it's a pre-World War... No, because Wilkinson was after World War II. I didn't know what was going on here. Okay.
Yeah, top 100 of the past 50 years.
Oh, well. My eyes failed me. I didn't see that part. Okay, then other than that, then... I mean, we could argue who deserves to be higher, who deserves to be lower. So a lot of people, not me, do we like where Bob Stoops is at right around 26? Some say, well, wait a minute, he had a winning record against a coach like Mack Brown. Why isn't he at least the same level as Mack Brown or higher? Well, I think Mack Brown gets a little bit of a nod because success has followed him everywhere he's gone.
I think so too. North Carolina,
we will never know, and maybe we will know. Maybe Bob gets tired of this broadcasting gig and wants to get back into coaching or something. But who's to say that, you know, if Bob had left OU that one infamous night to go to Notre Dame, you know, where everybody thought that's where he was going to go, Adam Schefter, you got it wrong, never admitted it. You know, who's to say if he went there, how much success he would have had there? Mm-hmm. And at other places too. But the thing about Bob Stoops, his first head coaching job was at a blue blood.
That's right.
He didn't have to start at an Appalachian State mm-hmm. and then jump to Tulane and then jump to North Carolina and then jump to Texas. You see what I'm saying? So he didn't have to make those jumps. But so there's an argument there of why is Mack Brown higher? Bob Stoops dominated the conference when he was there. Mack Brown had two Big 12 titles. They both had one national title each. So there's some argument there. Do you like Chris Peterson's all the way up in top 20?
Yeah, I mean, that's where it goes to me. No one in the right mind, or at least I don't think anyone in the right mind, would ever think that Barry Switzer isn't a better coach and doesn't have more skins on the wall than Bill Snyder.
I understand Snyder's
role in completely turning a program around. And he did. There's no doubt about that. I mean, look back at those Kansas State pre-Snyder, and here's another thing you can do. Look at Kansas State from 2006 to 2008 when he took that small hiatus. Ron Prince took the job, and they were terrible again.
Right.
And so it's hard to say it's not Bill Snyder. You know, Chris Kleiman's doing what he's doing, and it's not that great. Now, he's beaten Oklahoma, but outside of that, Kansas State isn't anywhere near the program that they were once Bill Snyder got it jump-started and kicked and going in the right way.
Yeah, yeah. He gets a lot of credit for it.
And he deserves a lot of credit.
And he deserves, yeah.
I'm not sitting here.
I have no issue with Bill Snyder right there. I really don't.
Ahead of Barry Switzer?
Barry Switzer won three national titles. Yeah, but let's take,
and all
take,
those conference
take the
titles.
School name off of it. And that's the hard thing.
It is the hard thing to do. I mean, yes, Bill Snyder did what he did and turned them completely. Yes, he did. And guess what? He's got two conference titles to show for it in what, 35 years of coaching?
Yeah. It just shows how hard it is at a place like Kansas State.
I understand.
To do what he did.
I understand. But you know what? If it was so damn easy to win at OU, John Blake would have.
That's a great point.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's the part that gets a little bit frustrating for me about the quote unquote blue bloods is, you know who wasn't winning national titles? Alabama with the coaches before Saban and after Stallings.
Right.
So if it's that easy, everybody could do it.
That's why everybody is hoping at the end of every season that Nick Saban announces retirement.
Yeah. And maybe we can roll Dennis Franchione back in there.
Yeah, because people anticipate as soon as Saban is gone, Alabama's going to have a dip and it's going to open up a lot of doors for other people.
Yeah.
And you're right. Before Saban was there, Alabama was just kind of floating along.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't great. They weren't beaten. They weren't dominating the SEC like they are now. And it wasn't by name. It's because of Saban.
That's right. And it's not a shot at the, you know, everyone, you listen to Pat after us, it's Gary Patterson's the best coach in the history of the Big 12 or blah, blah, or he's definitely the best one now. Really? I mean, TCU had a great 2014. They were really good before they got in the Big 12. What have they done? made the conference title game to get blown out in 2017. He doesn't have the same advantages as Lincoln Riley has at Oklahoma, or Sarkisian has at Texas. So there's that argument, and it's just kind of your own feel, because you're never going to convince you're never going to convince the other side of your position, because all you can keep on saying is, well, it's easier to win at OU. You're probably right, but not everybody does it. Look at Texas. Mack Brown had it rolling, and he won two conference titles.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they haven't really been, the one year in 2018 with Herman made it to the conference title game. But outside of that, they haven't really even been close to winning the conference. And so is it really that easy at Texas? It seems to be. And it's easy to say it is. But when it really comes down to it, then why don't these same five teams win every single year? Well, some of them do with the right coach. But once you don't have that, then it's a little bit different.
I think another thing that's not being accounted for here, you can look at numbers, records, conference titles, national titles. I think what doesn't get a lot of credit for is how a program is left when, say, a coach is either quits or fires or retires. In case in point, Bob Stoops left a pretty good program for Lincoln Riley to win right now.
And see, I think...
And Lincoln Riley, in about 10 years, will probably make this list.
And see, I think the reason why, like, Pete Carroll's 14... I think he should be higher than that, but that's why he's not.
Look what happened
after
that's
right.
How he left it.
That's right. That's why he's not.
We just need to change our show to lawn and garden tips.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be the Army Worm show for the
Army Worm special.
Joining us now, as he does each and every Monday, it's time for the Barber Dyson Ford Jim Traber segment. Jim's visits are presented by Barber Dyson. Congratulations to Barber Dyson Ford on their 27th anniversary. They've been the truck headquarters, Western Oklahoma, and the Texas Panhandle for all 27 years. Won those two awesome service awards from the Ford Motor Company this year. Good morning, Jim. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. I think I turned people on to the Army Worms last week. It's disgusting.
It is pretty crazy. I just actually, right after I got you on the horn, OSU Extension Gardeners sent out, don't be scared of them. Anything they do is temporary. But that doesn't make you feel any better when you got a perfect green yard and wake up the next morning and it's brown.
Yeah, I mean, that's so Jared, do you think you got them?
Yeah, I was mowing yesterday and saw them on my back porch. I saw the worms. And then when I was done mowing, did some more inspection, and I found some brown spots in my lawn, and I basically got down on my hands and knees and was combing through the grass, and I picked up about five of them, so I'm pretty sure they're in my lawn.
You picked them up, dude, with your hands?
Oh, yeah, I'm not scared.
What's wrong with you, man? Those things look disgusting.
They're small. They're nothing. They're nothing. Well, I mean, I say they're nothing. They're destroying my lawn.
Wicked.
What's that?
I said there's some things that are small that are still wicked. Doesn't matter how big they are. That is, I'm not picking them up. We had people come out and spray Saturday morning, so we're hoping. I've got three different kinds of grass. I've got the Bermuda, I've got the fescue, and I've got zoysia. So the zoysia, supposedly they don't like it, so that's good. I guess they love the fescue and the Bermuda. So
one of our lawn guys that listens every day, he says Tall Star insecticide is what you got to use to kill them.
All right,
so there you go.
Tall Star,
like T-A-L-S-T-A-R, insecticide.
Well, because you guys know me very well, I don't do a daggone thing myself. So I don't know what they use, but they use something good. The guy told me that he had 300 yards that he's already had done. That was on Saturday morning.
Wow. Oh my gosh. That is...
Yeah, it's... these are crazy. I guess last time they came was 1999.
Wow.
I don't know why. I don't know why they suddenly have come back, but...
See, that's some different guys out this weekend that had farmed a little bit here and there. They said that they knew what they were from, like the wheat and stuff, but they'd never seen them attack yards. It was more just kind of, they would see them after they cut wheat. So I don't know.
That's great. I've never even heard until Friday or Thursday. I'd never heard of a daggone army worm.
I hadn't either.
And then one of the farmer guys who does Angus beef. He texted me and told me that the reason why they call them army worms is because they march across the daggone field like an army.
That is what some of those farmers were saying about him. They'd just go right across fields and tear stuff up. It's crazy.
Yeah.
All right, Jim. I heard a little bit of what you had to say on Friday about the Field of Dreams game. Jared and I couldn't have been. It was to me so cool. And for the first time in a long time, I think for a majority of people that watched that game, they were able to connect back with baseball and the reason they fell in love with it as like little kids. That's almost the way I felt watching it, like a little kid in a candy store again, because of the way that they were able to do that there on Thursday in Iowa. What were your thoughts on the way that it was executed there? But then I know also you had some problems with them promoting it and not letting enough people know what was happening.
Well, they did. I mean, it was unbelievable. It was such a great idea to do it. Incredible that they did it out there. I thought one of the coolest things ever is where they were in the crowd and at the end of the stands, you could look out in the distance and there was like a farmhouse.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really out there. You know, it wasn't fake. It wasn't like on a movie set. And, you know, the way they had the one Little League field and then they had the maze. Which, by the way, if I would have gone through that maze, I'd still be in there. I probably would have never gotten out. But, no, and then the way they had them walk out like that. And, you know, the players actually bought in. Because did you see when the players walked out, they started looking around like the movie.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, it was brilliant. Now, I say that they did not market it well enough, and that's true. But it was the highest rated game in, like, over a decade, which doesn't surprise me. And then I think they went right back. Their next national game went right back down. So they really need to do that every year. I mean, I'd like to say do it five times a year, but they need to have one of those games every single year. And somebody brought up a great point. You can't do it too early because the corn won't be high enough, you know. But it was awesome. It really was. And the ball was just flying like crazy. You know, guys, how many times do we see dudes that aren't, like, considered big-time power hitters go deep the opposite way nowadays, you know? I mean, that used to be incredibly unique, and now dudes do it all the time. But I didn't watch every minute of the game because, frankly, I've told you guys that I just can't stand the way they play nowadays. But I did watch a decent amount of it, and it was really cool. It was a great idea. It was great to see baseball kind of – but boy, it would have been really cool if it would have been a real game, you know, if they would have really played baseball the way it should be played.
Yeah.
But they were out there hacking and hitting massive bombs. And I wonder. I didn't really ever. Did you guys ever see anything about whether the players thought the ball was jumping there, or carrying? Because, I mean, that opposite field home run by Anderson looked like it went 7,000 feet. You know.
No, I never did. But it wouldn't surprise me at all if it wasn't that way. Just for that reason, that people are going to be watching and people want to see home runs. But I just the crowd. Especially once it got down to the end, there wasn't a rooting interest, so they were just cheering on the game, and it was just awesome. It reminded you of something like you'd see as a little kid to me. It just the joy, and I think you said you hit it right on the head, because even when I was reading some tweets as the players were getting there, and you know it was from Ryder saying it was weird. Nobody had their phone. All the players were looking out the. Into the windows of the buses and like taking it all in. And so them buying in, I think definitely helped the viewing experience on last Thursday.
Yeah, no, you're right. It was really cool. And then it went back to baseball again the next day.
Yeah.
But I don't know what they can do. You can't, like I said, you can't do that a bunch, but they should have an annual game. Don't you guys agree? I mean, they should just have an annual game.
Well, yeah, that leaves my question. They said though, I guess the commissioner said they're going to have it again next year. They don't know what teams, but they're going to try to do it again, which kind of scares me because I hope it doesn't become an annual thing because it kind of dilutes it. You know, I'd like to see it kind of spread out. But we like the special games. Me and Aaron have talked about this over and over. What other type of game would you like to see? Maybe not just in baseball, but of all sports. That's something that can grab the nation's attention.
Well, first of all, the next game I would do the Red Sox and the Cubs in Interleague because, mm-hmm. you know, they're both old as can be and they all won that championship after not winning one for 100 billion years.
Yep.
So that'd be kind of cool to put those two teams in it. I don't know, Jared, I'd have to think about that. I mean, I don't really know. You know, in college football, we have some games like that. You know, we have the Cotton Bowl, and we've got the world's largest cocktail party, which, by the way, you're not allowed to say anymore, I guess. So, I mean, they got a couple of the Army-Navy game. It's really cool, you know. I tell you what, Jared, I will respectfully disagree with you. I don't think you'll take away from it if you only have it once a year.
Okay.
I mean, now, 10 years from now, will they be as excited about it? No. But I still think, you know, how about a month before it, Major League Baseball starts all over the place, going, last year, if you missed it, it was unbelievable, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of deal. Then the people that saw it might come back, and then new people will come. So now you can't count on Major League Baseball doing anything right. But I think you should play one a game. I just don't know in any of the other sport how you could really do it. You know, they do that preseason game, you know, with in football at the Hall of Fame, which is kind of lost its luster. The Hall of Fame is still kind of cool. But I don't know if there's anything else you can do because there wasn't a movie about it. This, you know, this Field of Dreams movie was so cool. And then to have Kevin Costner out there, I thought was really cool too. So, and then the irony, guys, I mean, the irony of the walk-off home run yeah. and then Shoeless Joe Jackson being the first one to do it against the Yankees for the White Sox, and then he's in the movie. I mean, they couldn't have planned that, you know? I mean, they could not have planned it. And by the way, that's really nice. And you know what happens with Major League Baseball? Whenever they do something great, they never keep going with it. I mean, you know, this thing should be all over the place, bringing up, you know, you remember baseball, and this is the way it used to be. Well, we're playing it. I mean, I mean, I'm not even a marketer, and I can figure out things, but they're not going to do it the right way. I remember when Cal Ripken Jr., you know, broke the record, Lou Gehrig's record, and he's running all around the field and everything. The next day there should have been a full-page ad in every big newspaper in the country and just all these things. They didn't do that. So they're not going to – they'll lose it. 2 weeks from now, no one will even remember it.
Yeah, and maybe that's the part where we're thinking, don't let it lose its luster. And baseball has to be a part of not letting that happen. You know,
right.
And thankfully, which we were sure that they would, and of course they did, but to have them walking out behind Costner out of the corn, I mean, that was just so cool the way that they actually did it. So kudos to baseball. They can improve, obviously, but it's even just to me shocking that they came up with this and didn't mess it up on that night.
Just remember, if there would have never been this movie, they would have never done it. They wouldn't have thought of it, you know. So thank goodness for them that there was that movie, because then somebody in their marketing department or somewhere said, hey, why don't we go play a game there? And it worked out beautifully for them. So good for them. They'll go back downhill, but good for them.
Yeah, we had one of our listeners on Friday, and Jared brought it up, having a game like in the Sandlot sometime.
On July 4th.
On July the 4th.
Yeah.
And try that.
Yeah,
out.
No, that would be cool.
This weekend, you know, the preseason NFL stuff, you can't glean a ton of it, but we got to see the debut of all five first-round rookie quarterbacks. Trey Lance probably had the biggest highlight, but Justin Fields, to me, was the best one, at least in the first game. What was your assessment of the way those guys came out and played in their first live NFL action?
I got to tell you guys, I was really impressed with pretty much all of them. I don't want to go out on a big old limb yet. It's one preseason
right.
game. I think you guys remember, I love Trey Lance. I think that he is going to be a great player. And I thought that Justin Fields was underrated. You know, Zach Wilson is the one that kind of surprised me. I mean, he looked really good, very poised. And I'll tell you, Matt Jones, he's not going to be a superstar, but I'll be daggone, dude, if he didn't look like Tom Brady when he was young.
I know.
I mean, it was almost eerie. I mean, he's kind of built a little bit like him, and he kind of stood in the pocket like him. So, yeah, I'm telling you, I think all of them, I didn't even bring up the one that's probably going to be the best in Lawrence. So, yeah, guys, these dudes can play. This is a really, really good quarterback class. And, you know what I love, man? Justin Fields, he sounded so cocky when they asked him to the game. You know, they always, you know, people always say, well, the game sped up. And he actually said it was kind of slow.
Yeah.
You know why it was?
Uh-oh.
Man, he's going to say something really interesting.
Oh, no. Did we lose him? Oh, I think we lost him.
I'm sorry.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Oh, you're back. You said you got right there to Justin Fields.
Let me guess. It was the mute button.
Yeah.
It was the daggone mute button.
Come on, I knew it.
My fat face. So mad. No, I was saying that Justin Fields sounded a little bit cocky when he was like, yeah, the game was slow. You know why? Because he's so daggone fast.
Yeah.
You know, he's running, I heard Sam Acho on the air today, which, by the way, it's hard for me to look at him sometimes because he's got the biggest smile I've ever seen in my life. But he brought up a good point. When he was running, he was faster than the defensive backs. He ran over 20 miles an hour, they clocked him at. First time in like 3 years that a Chicago Bears run that fast as a quarterback. So, yeah, he processed. I think that they really said some things about him that were dead wrong.
Yep.
So, yeah, these quarterbacks, fellas, this is a good class. It's going to be fun watching them. And if even three of them turn out to be great, then it'll be one of the best classes of all time.
Yeah, you've got those guys, and the couple those five with the three from last year, with, you know, Herbert and Burrow looked the part. Tua is the one. I loved him out of college, but I'm not ready to push the panic button. But I'm a little bit. It is. I'm a little bit nervous about Tua. I mean, he was fine until he wasn't the other night throwing the pick in the red zone. But so far, he's the one of the, even just watching these other guys, he's the one that doesn't look as comfortable. You know, that's the thing to me about these five. They all looked all poised and comfortable, like they had been doing it for years. He looks just a little bit different than them.
Now, these dudes weren't playing against starters.
That's true.
So, you know, it gets a lot faster when the big boys play. Let me say this, though. I think the offense last year was in Miami was geared around Fitzpatrick. And I think that this offseason they've geared it around him now. So I think he's going to be better just because of that, to do the things that he does best. I do agree with you that, well, Herbert is just a budding superstar. I mean, that kid is unbelievable. And listen, I think Burrow's going to be really good, but I got to see more of it. You know, I mean, I want to see it continue. And, of course, the Bengals have just been an absolute joke. I guess maybe they're the next Browns. I doubt it, but, you know, so we'll see. But I think Tua's going to be okay. I just don't know if he's going to be as good as maybe, because I love them too. I just don't know if some of them are going to be. If you guys remember, people don't ever remember when I say good things that are right, but I loved Herbert out of college. I thought he was unbelievable. You know, if you remember that one game when they played help me out. Was it Auburn or somebody? Very first game of the year. Might have been Alabama.
I think it was
remember.
Auburn.
Yeah, Auburn. And you remember, they didn't let him, like, throw the ball down the field at all in the second half?
Yep.
I mean, it was ridiculous. I'm thinking, you got this big, strong stud that can fire it all over the field, and you won't let him throw it? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, I can remember watching, and maybe because I didn't, because of inconsistency, but you never know when the coaching staff is holding him back. But that Arizona State game where they fell way behind, and then all of a sudden, for like three or four straight drives, he's just going zing, 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 and they almost come back from like 21 or 24 down to beat the Sun Devils, and then they just crushed Utah in that 2019 Pac-12 championship game, and he had a big part of that. So maybe we should have seen it coming. But he's, I mean, even – God, he looks like the best one right now. I mean, he's had, you know, last year, and we'll see. You know, sometimes the rest of the league catches up a little bit, but it does. I don't know how that can just flip on a switch as good as he looked at the end of last year.
You know what's interesting, guys? Think about this. I was thinking about it because obviously I'm a Steeler fan, but there's some teams that have older quarterbacks that are going to probably be pretty good. I know there's a bunch of people think the Steelers are going to stink. But they'll be in the neighborhood of 500, would be my guess. And you can't have that good of a defense and go, you know, 6-11 like some people think. But all of these teams that aren't very good are going to be still at the top of the draft, and they're not going to need quarterbacks.
Right.
So there are going to be some interesting things for instance, Spencer Rattler and whoever else is going to be a quarterback. So I think the next couple drafts could be some fights for people trying to get position for whoever comes out, you know, as a quarterback. But, man, these young kids look like they could play, guys. They really do. And I love what's his name, out there in San Francisco. Help me out. Trey Lance. I think he's going to be great. By the way, Jordan Love looked pretty good.
Yeah. What do you think? Because, you know, for years and years, it was the come in, set for two, set for three, learn from an old guy, and then when it's time to take the reins, you take the reins. That is completely flipped on the switch. I mean, we're seeing guys. I mean, Arizona, for instance, 3 years ago, they drafted a first rounder and shipped him off because they had the first pick to get Kyler Murray. I mean, you would have never seen that way back in the day. Why are these guys so much more prepared to come right in and take the reins of these organizations than they ever have been before?
Well, some are, some aren't. But I think it's true. The offenses they're running in college, you know. I mean, I think that they're just – I mean, these guys learn about everything now on how to be a quarterback, where I don't think they really did that much back a ways ago. By the way, Kyler Murray, this is a big year for Kyler Murray, yep. Fellas. I mean, I love the guy, but he's got to stay healthy and he's got to stop throwing interceptions. Because, I mean, I think he's got a chance to be a superstar. And it's interesting about their coach out there, too. I mean, they're in a tough division. They could go 500. And, I don't know, maybe they don't like the direction the team's going in. And that division is tough. But, yeah, I think these quarterbacks now, you look at Lincoln Riley's offense, man. You kidding me? I mean, you come out of that thing and you know what you're doing. And there's a bunch of offenses like that all over the place now. It's all changing. The offenses are changing. Even Alabama's throwing the ball around.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's good stuff, guys. I love what these quarterbacks are doing. And if you're a big-time quarterback in high school, all you got to do is go to one of those programs, not get hurt, and you're probably going to get drafted really high. Think about that. I mean, if you're a big-time quarterback, you got this Arch Manning right now they're thinking about, and then, oh, you got that kid. You guys probably know. Where's he from? California.
Yep. Malachi Nelson.
Yeah, Malachi Nelson. I mean, it's almost guaranteed if you stay healthy that you're going to go to the NFL and get drafted really high. I mean, it's a wonderful feeling. Not to mention now you're going to get paid, too.
Enough about the young guys. How about the old guys? Week one, who's the starter for the Eagles? Is it Joe Flacco or is it Jalen Hurts?
Well, you guys know how I feel about Jalen Hurts. I mean, he's an amazing story. He's a tremendous football player. But to me, he's not a starting quarterback in the league. And last year he did some nice things, but if you really watch, fellas, towards the end of the time that he started, it didn't go very well.
Yep.
I mean, he was barely, 58% or something like that? And so, I don't know. The Giants, they stink. I mean, the Eagles are terrible. If I'm the Eagles, I'm playing him. Because you have to know at the end of the year whether he's your guy, don't you? You have to know. Because you're going to be down there. I was just talking about drafting a quarterback. If he shows you that he is a player, well, then next year you can draft other players. But if he doesn't, then you're going to have to get a quarterback early in the first round next year. So it would be a stupid, stupid thing for me to play Flacco. Now, if you play Jalen Hurts and 5, 6, 7 games into it, he's not doing well, maybe you put Flacco in there. But I'm playing Jalen Hurts to find out whether he's the guy. I personally don't think he is. But maybe he'll prove me wrong. He's proven people wrong his whole career.
Yeah, 52%. He threw for just over 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns, 4 picks, 41 QBR. I think that would surprise people if they really looked at the stats because of the way the team kind of played better around him. And, you know, one of those games that beat Dallas, that didn't really matter last year anyway. That defense was so bad.
It doesn't really matter to beat Dallas.
It didn't really matter. But I think you're so right, though. And maybe that's something that's starting to change as well, is these guys, even getting the group we just talked about, but like Kyler Murray, what's his third year? It's time. Or you start moving on because you don't have to pay him a mint like, you know, Bradford got way, way back when from the Rams. That thing is over now, and, you know, the teams are so much less reluctant just to move on and try somebody else. And the Eagles would be idiots if they didn't know at the end of this year whether or not Jalen Hurts could be their starting quarterback.
Yeah, like I said, Jalen Hurts needs to show it. I mean, the Eagles have been, I don't know what they're doing a lot of times here lately. Their coach, have you heard that, seen him? I feel bad about saying this, but he looks like he is so far in over his head, it's unbelievable. Now, That's probably unfair because I'm not there covering him every day. But every time I see the dude interviewed, I'm like, he's a head coach in the NFL? You know, I saw something the other day, you know, when Skip Bayless said about McCarthy being fat, you know, and what's her name ripped into him. I thought it was interesting. But if you look at all the young coaches nowadays, guys, they literally look like they're models. They're all, like, built perfectly, and they all have that, you know, the small beard going. Whereas the older dudes are all look like me, you know? So isn't it interesting how the younger guys are all these, like, well-built, like, workout freaks nowadays?
So the older guys look like skinny and the younger guys look like me.
You know what? The older guys do look like skinny, but the younger guys look a lot better than you.
Yeah, there's not a bunch of Andy Reids running around out there outside of, you know, Andy Reid and Bruce Arians. But, hey, who was the coaches in the Super Bowl last year?
That's exactly right. It don't matter what you look like.
That's right.
When I'm on the radio, nobody knows what I look like. Big boy, I get after it.
See that?
You're too skinny. See, don't let Jared beat up on you.
Hey, I'm not going to let him. And that was one of my only concerns about us starting to do the live streaming of high school football way back when we did it with the video, is now people would get to see what I look like if we had to turn that camera on in the booth. And listen, nobody wants that.
No.
Yeah, I know. I do that TV show on Sunday night too. And of course, TV puts a weight on you. So.
Well, there's no doubt about that.
When people see me, they go, "Man, you're a lot smaller than you look on TV." I say, "Okay, thank you."
Yeah.
Like that's a compliment. So they must be watching me, going, "Hey, honey, look at Traber, boy. He's a big old fat boy."
All right, man. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hey,
good luck.
By the way,
go ahead.
Did you guys read Saturday the column that Trammell wrote about OU and OSU? Did you read that by any chance?
No. The last one I read was when he didn't. Was one about the SEC being bad for football or whatever.
Well, okay. I'm telling you, fellas, I'm gonna get after it on the radio today because it seems as if that Oklahoma State on two different occasions, okay, took big grants of money without letting OU know about it. And one of them was the medical school when Dr. Shrum was running it. So in other words, the old deal of, you know, if you live in glass houses, don't throw rocks.
Mm-hmm.
Get ready. You should read it, guys, Saturday morning if you get a chance. Go back and read it because Trammell did some great research, and it's pretty obvious that all this junk that OSU and Dr. Shrum's bringing out about, I can't believe they didn't tell us. Guess what? OSU didn't tell OU about this stuff either. So it's really, really interesting. So I'm going to talk. I'll be talking about that at 2 o'clock today.
Okay. We'll be listening, man. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a great week.
All right, fellas. See ya.
See you later. That is the Ultimate Jim Traber, Barber, Dyson, Ford, Jim Traber segment. Each and every Monday. I missed it. I was busy playing golf, but I want to read that.
No, yeah. I usually read his stuff, but the weekend stuff kind of goes by me. But, yeah, I'll go back and read it.
And, by the way, happy birthday.
To?
Joe Wynn.
Hey!
Happy birthday, Joseph.
We don't want to say how old, though.
I don't know if I can count that high.
He's young at heart, though.
There he is, that. There's no doubt about that.
Great
happy
guy.
Birthday,
nice
Joe.
Guy.
Thank you to Jim. We'll have to read that. He's going to go crazy.
I can tell.
It's going to be great at 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
I wish we'd have read it. Everybody have a great day. We'll be back tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered around.